Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. This is Julia Cannon, and I've got Shonda Garrison here with me.
Hello.
And today is January 6th. Happy New Year, everybody.
January 8th.
It's 8th, and I even wrote it down. I'm telling you, I don't know, and this is wonderful. I never know. I'm always in a time warp. Okay, it's because it was the 16th. January 8th of 2016. This is just to make everybody feel better out there. I do this intentionally. just, I'm human. This is, yeah, anybody who knows me.
Completely understands.
Totally understand, yeah. Hey, this is me. This is how mom was too. We're just ordinary people. You know, we are not trying to put any, this is just us. We're real people. That's yep. What I'm trying to say. We are real people.
Yep.
That's who we are. We make mistakes and this is what we do and it's okay. For some reason I'm on Wednesday. So I'm in a time warp. So it's okay. Anyway, our toll-free number to call in, if you'd like to call in with any questions, is 1-888-627-6008, 1-888-627-6008. But that's also why I have Shonda here, so she can pick up on any of my flub-ups. So another reason I have her here is she's going to help save the day today. Our guest tonight is supposed to be Michael Perlin. We don't know what's going on. It could be he's stuck in traffic. Something's going on, and he's not quite here yet. So while we're waiting for him to tune in, Shonda and I will be just entertaining you. So, yeah. So you get us. So we're going to... You know, just talk about just whatever comes to mind. And if you have any questions, just feel free to call in and or type in just whatever you want. That's fine. We'll be happy to answer whatever you want. And this will be the time because I know some people have said they would love to ask questions, but it's not always been opportune because we've had guests on and we wanted the questions to be centered around the guests. And I'm trying to remember what some of those questions have been.
I have a couple.
Oh, wonderful.
That have just come through email.
Fantastic.
In my office.
Okay. Right off the bat, though, before we start that, I wanted to kind of do a little bit about our schedule, some of the things that are coming up, what's happening here. Because here we are, January 8th. We're getting ready to start up travels again. The schedules we've had a couple of months. Has it been a couple of months off or just 1 month?
When did you get back?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't keep track of myself.
You've got a full 2 months of no travel.
That's why I don't remember. See? Okay. That was wonderful. I've enjoyed it. Okay. So... and we'll be doing a class in California, in Burbank. We'll be doing a level 2 class for any practitioners out there wanting to do that. Anybody entertaining QHHT at all, you can actually get the online if you're thinking about that. Do level 1, and then you can even take level 2 if you wanted to. But we're going to be out there doing level 2 class. And then we're also going to be doing the new program, which is the level 1 online companion course, which is totally new. And we'll be doing a free webinar on Monday, which will be giving a little more information about that. And so do you have anything on the website about that yet?
On the webinar?
Uh-huh. I know you were talking to Steven about putting something up there about
that. Yeah, but I don't know that I do, but I can get it up this weekend.
Okay. So anyway, we'll have information about that. But we have a lot of things happening. So it's really exciting of what's going on with the classes and QHHT. And that's just those are so much fun. You know, the classes, and they're just a ton of fun.
Oh, yeah.
So we have exciting things happening with that. So if you're interested in anything with QHHT, we have that coming up in California. And then we'll be doing another class in Lima, Peru, at the end of, let's see, I got to get my schedule here.
It's the end of February.
End of February. We'll be going there and doing, again, a level two and the companion course. So, and how the companion course works is that you can do it, you do the online course, and then this is just a little companion thing. Like I said, we have more information on the websites, and that's at DoloresCannon.com or QHHTOfficial.com. You can get more information, as well as once we get the information on the website about the companion, you'll understand more about that. So, but that's a really cool thing we just added, a program we just added. So if you're interested in that, but you can do any of these or standalones, or you can add these. They're just wonderful things. And some of the past shows we just recently did, we had some practitioners who have done the online course, and we've had some that have done the live courses, so that you can kind of get an idea of what it's like, you know, which one might be better for you if you're interested in them, and just to get a feel for it.
Mm-hmm.
And, yep. You know, so they've been from all walks of life.
Oh, yeah, they have. And it's amazing.
It is.
It's absolutely amazing.
Don't you love being in the classes?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Just classes, emails, just listening to everybody's stories and their life paths and how much just even one little video has just dramatically changed things for them. I love it. I can't get enough of it.
Yeah, because you're right there because you're the one that receives all that. You get the phone calls and the emails.
Yep.
You're right on the receiving end.
Yep. And yeah, that's probably what makes this even better for me, because I get to hear all these stories and stuff from people and how just the littlest things have helped change their lives.
Yeah, it's life-changing.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
And then, like, we go to the classes, and you see it over a five-day period or six-day period. Well, now it's seven. What is it? Six, 7 days? I don't know what it is now.
6 days.
But it is. You see them from day one, and then by the end of it, I mean, they're just... Well, it's just a major. You see lives change.
Oh, yeah.
And then if they come back then for a level two, dramatic. I mean, they're just telling me major life changes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I just know what's happened in my life, you know, just in probably, yeah,
oh, yeah.
I can't speak for you, but.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so.
I can definitely say mine's done a pretty much 360 turn from before I got here.
Yeah. See, and that's what it's all about. You just. That's what these things do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It just does it. Because you see things. And once you see these things, you can't unsee them.
Right.
And I think that's pretty much it. You are given information from your higher self. And once you see it, you just can't unsee it.
Yeah.
And you have to do something with it.
Oh, yeah.
You may not do it right away, but you have to do it at some point.
Right.
So,
yep.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
You know, yeah, you know, you can resist and kick and scream, but eventually you do something.
Right.
And, you know, that's just the way it is. And so that's where your life starts changing. And it's just beautiful. And it's beautiful when you're a practitioner because you are part of helping people change their lives.
Yep.
It's just a magnificent process.
Oh, yeah.
So here on this end, your life is changing because you're doing it for yourself. And then you're over here helping other people do it for themselves. And so here it's win, 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 win. Then here, as teachers, we're helping people help themselves who help other people help themselves who help other people help themselves. It's win, 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 win on this whole ripple effect.
Yep.
I love this job.
I do too.
This world is fantastic. The world we live in.
Oh, yeah.
I love this world.
I do too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want any other one.
and that's where, you know, people, you know, that was the topic tonight It's about metaphysics, and that's our world. It's a metaphysics, and we create our world. And, I mean, I wholeheartedly believe that. And people, a lot of times, want to poo-poo that, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, this stuff isn't real. But that's what we've been taught. That's what Mom taught. That's what she discovered. That's what they showed her.
Mm-hmm.
And I practice it. I live it. I see it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, how can you deny it when it happens, when you live it right. And it works? All I can say is just do it. You know, and it's like, and that's kind of what started happening. Well, just try it. If it doesn't work, well, then stop. But but it works. So it's like, well, right. Then what do you got, you know, what?
So, yeah.
And that's, but I just see it in other people, you know, and then it's like, well, okay, I mean, that's the beauty of it. When I just love the looks on people's faces, their eyes, you know, and they're just, oh my gosh. When they see it, when they've seen the light. No. I see where that comes from now. Not to get all religious on anybody, but it's, you know, but that's pretty much it. I mean, you like I said, you see stuff, you can't unsee it. And that's information. It's information from this, from you, from the bigger part of you. Yeah, you're given stuff that you need to know. And then it's up to you to act on it or not. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that was a big thing on a little on schedule. But that's kind of QHHT, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the beauty of QHHT.
Oh yeah.
And that's why people get so excited about it. And that's why when they say, "What is it?" and I start fumbling and stumbling and stuttering, and it's because it's really hard to put it in a few words.
Oh yeah.
Because it's more emotion than a definition.
Yeah, it's more feeling than words.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like, it's wonderful. If I could just show it to you.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It's like, yeah, I got to come up with some words though for the webinar. I'll work on it. Okay. So that's what we've got coming up immediately. We have more of the schedule on the QHHT on the websites. And then we have coming up in April our two conferences that we're really excited about, how we're doing that this year. We have the two back-to-back, the Transformation Conference and the UFO Conference. So yes. That's very exciting because that's the first time we've done that together. We usually have them in two different times, like separated by a few months.
Yeah.
And that's really stressful on us.
To say the least.
Yes. And so, among other things, that's like, yeah, it's stress is, yeah, there's a whole lot of things it is.
Yeah.
And so we decided to pull them together in one of the most beautiful places there is, and that's Eureka Springs, Arkansas. And that's where the UFO conference has been for 28, is this the 29th year?
Yeah, this is the 29th.
Yeah, so like 28 years. It's one of the longest running, continuously running UFO conferences, I want to venture to say, in the world. I'm going to go on record. I mean, it's one of them. It's okay. Definitely one of them.
Oh, yeah.
It may not be the longest, but it's definitely one of them.
Yes.
And then our Transformation Conference, this is its 11th year, right? 10th or 11th?
11th.
11, yeah. See, it's been going a while, too. Yeah, I know. Woo-woo. Yes. I know. We're getting old. Anyway, so we just decided, you know, it was over here in Springdale, and it was like, let's just put, I mean, that one really needed to be in Eureka, because Eureka Springs is this gorgeous, it's a gorgeous little metaphysical community.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They
crystal
got all sorts
shops
of stuff
and
in there.
Yeah, it's just gorgeous.
Drums and
mm-hmm.
all sorts of spiritual stuff.
Yeah, it's nestled in the beautiful hills. And in April, the oh my gosh, the colors and the
dogwoods and the red buds are just blooming. So you got all that pretty color mm-hmm. and the yellows are starting to come out. Oh, it's just gorgeous.
It is. It's absolutely gorgeous. And the weather is just very, very nice. Usually. I mean, it could be, yeah, I mean, there might, it can, it's. Yeah, who knows? I should. It could be warm.
You can't predict the weather.
That's true. That's true. You can't. Like today, it's 50s. So tomorrow, I think it's supposed to be 20s.
So, yeah. 20s but, and snowing.
Yeah. And in April, it could. Who knows? But it's usually at that time. It'll be beautifully green, probably.
Oh yes.
And, but it's rolling hills, and. It's just the perfect setting.
Yeah, in April, it's like the temperature is just right that you can wake up in the mornings and you got the misty fog covering up the bottom part of the mountains. Oh, that's my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Love foggy mornings.
And the hotel that we're at, they have, well, most any place in Eureka.
Yeah.
They have, because it's known, if people don't know this about Eureka Springs, its nickname is Little Switzerland. Because of because it's the way it is. It's built on hills. I mean, it's very hilly right there. And many of the hotels, or many of the houses, period, they're built on the side of the hills. And so a lot of the hotel rooms, I mean, your balconies are overlooking drop-offs. I mean, they're just right on the side of the hills.
Yeah.
And that's why they call it Little Switzerland. So when you look out, I mean, you've got, you're it's just beautiful. You've just... trees. I mean, gorgeous scenery.
Oh, yes.
And that's why you're right in among the nature. And that's why it's a beautiful setting for especially Transformation Conference. Mm-hmm. And then absolutely for the UFO Conference because your skies, you're out here in the country, your skies are wide open and you definitely see some things. Every conference, we definitely have some things that nobody can explain. I'm just going to put it that way. Every conference, there are some things that we can't explain in the skies.
And that's just as fun, too.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't put them there. I'm going to tell you that much. Okay. So that's got us up through April. Okay. That's probably good for there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, now, what were you starting to talk about when I wanted to mention that?
When you wanted to mention
When that. I wanted to say about the conferences. About the schedule. You were starting to say something, and I said, okay, I want to talk about the schedule.
I have no idea.
So wait a minute.
You
were
caught
on...
me off guard there. Because
you were right on something, and... You were like, okay,
oh, I had
you're
a
starting
couple
to...
of questions.
Oh, yeah, the questions.
Office.
That was
Let me
it.
Run and get those
okay.
Real quick.
All right. That was it. You had questions. Okay. And then that'll be wonderful. We'll answer some of your questions. And if anybody else has any questions that they want to call in or type in on the Skype here, or then that'll be wonderful. We'll be happy to answer them for you. Because we're here, we're still waiting for Michael to call in. Whenever he gets to wherever he's trying to get to, and meanwhile, we're punting or tap dancing or whatever we want to call this that we're doing here. But you know, everything always goes as it should. So this is always in perfect divine order. So if you have something that you've been wanting to ask, then now is the right time. Okay, she's come back in here with some questions.
There was one other day.
Okay, don't make it stuff that'll stump me.
Here you go. Here's one about Atlantis.
Oh, okay.
Is these underground cities that are highly advanced the preservative portion of Atlantis, or new and completely different types. Wanted to be clear before reading the book, because being highly technology advanced, wouldn't some city core preservative, not sure what word, but like cutting or shielding a chunk out, be put into place to capture it?
Okay, what book is...
It doesn't say what book.
Okay, can I see it? Okay, then this is highly advanced preservative portion of Atlantis, or new and completely different types. Yeah, the underground cities that Mom talked about in her books, were cities that, to my understanding, excuse me, are cities that are current civilizations that are there. And I guess you could, I mean, they're kind of new old cities there, because they're actually currently being used. And they are, to my understanding, it's like when Atlantis went down, or it's from some prior civilization, everybody went underground, but that's when they went there. And it could be, these are also remnants from other civilizations. Like, it could even be ET civilizations. So that's why it's so highly technological. They haven't had all the distractions that we have here on 3D Earth on this level. And so they've been able to completely go beyond and develop. And so, and do much more than we can hear, or we've been able to hear. As far as the remnants of, you know, like the part of Atlantis that was so much destroyed, those are kind of on the surface. I think they're like in the ocean bottoms and things like that. Like, do you remember her saying that in her, like, her talks? And mm-hmm. like, those are yeah. things like that. And I think there were like parts that actually... those people went. They went underground and they developed these. Like, there are certain people that went underground and they developed these cities.
Right.
And that's what those are, is the way I understand it, as to what she said in her books. So that's my understanding of that one.
Yep.
Okay.
Here's a couple more. I'll let you read them, see if you
okay.
want to take them on.
All right. Okie dokie.
These are kind of some of the hard ones that I don't answer.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, this one actually... I know. These are good questions. They're actually very good questions.
Mm-hmm.
And they're questions that Mom used to get a lot. And so I have heard her answer them. This first one is, why do we eat animals when animals have consciousness? Okay. And I know it seems... like that, you know, shouldn't be. When the animal comes in to this life, everything is planned ahead of time, just like we make a plan when we come in. The animals know, and the animals have, when they come in, they have what she would call a group, where we have a individual, like we have a soul that comes into a body. They have a group soul that comes into, it's like they have a group soul that enters into theirs. Like they have a, when they would call that, like the flock, you know, they have the flocks. Yeah. And they have that's why they have a group mentality.
Like a wolf
groups.
Pack.
Right. That's why they have those, because It's a group soul, right. That kind of a thing. And that's why they say that's what the best thing you can do for an animal is to help it break away from that. And the way you do that is to give it personality, is to love it. And it gives it personality and to individualize it, break it away from that. And that's how you help it to raise up from that. And then usually when it does that, you help love it and give it compassion, then it can incarnate next from that into a human life. You know, if you go from in a linear form, and you know, we know now that there isn't that time element like that. It's all happening at once. But if you're thinking in that linear form, then that's kind of that structure. So for that sake of that going that way, then that's how you would do that. But just look at it that way. It's got this group soul. Okay, oh, wonderful. Okay. Okay, I'll finish that question and then we'll bring Michael in. So anyway, so the animal, when they come in, they know that this is going to happen. This is what they came in for. Their group contract when they came in was to provide they're going to be food. So, and they knew that coming in. So that's what that was about. Okay, well, wonderful. Well, then let's go ahead. And Michael is now here. And so we will bring him in now. So, now where was I?
Okay. Hello, Michael.
is he on the phone? Are you on the phone or on Skype, Michael?
I am here.
Wonderful. Welcome aboard, Michael.
Thank you.
And we're so honored to have you with us.
Thank you. I am very honored to be here. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. Okay. Well, we've just been doing a little tap dancing and just answering some questions for people. And we had some questions that had been sent in. And so we were just doing that while we were waiting for you. And
I was listening to it. I just lost my cat.
Oh, okay.
After 19 years she was with me.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and I totally resonate with everything you were saying about that.
Okay, all right. Yeah, fantastic, yes. So she's now going to, so it just now happened?
Yeah, last week.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, now you know what's going to happen now, don't you?
Right. Mm-hmm. I felt that already. I just knew.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I know. Yeah, so I had one, and it acted like a cat. It just totally acted like a cat, and then it got really sick, and I really nursed on him, and we got really bonded during that time, and I was paying all the, you know, we worked on all this stuff and everything, and got really good and well, and then he went out, and I'm not going to go through the details, but you know, he died, and I'm like, through an accident, and I'm like, what on earth happened? And it did right in front of me. And all of a sudden, I'm like, I got so upset. And I was like, because I got close to him then. Because before that, he was just a cat, you know. And it was like, and I got close to him, and I started talking to him, and I got this message from him. I'm like, I was like, why did that happen? He's like, well, you loved me, and you gave me compassion, and now I can go on. Now I can be a human. I'm like, oh.
It makes me think of the Velveteen Rabbit, you know, whenever the Velveteen Rabbit
is,
but you love me, so now I'm real.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh. He said, and I had to do it in front of you, because if I would have just gone off, you never would have known what happened to me.
Right.
So I was like, oh, okay. Okay. Thank you. So, but yeah, that's, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, all right. Well, so we still have, it's 7:30. We still have about 25 minutes, Michael. So, How about we just jump right into your book and what got you there? Because usually I go a little bit more about your background and everything. And we did, I know Mom had talked to you before. She'd interviewed you before and stuff. And what I'd like to do is, because I know, like, I want to introduce you first as you are, some about your background is, you know, you're a movie producer, director, screenwriter. I mean, you have all these accolades in Hollywood and in the movie career, and you've done the movie Three Magic Words. And that was really in your, you made that really as you were exploring. That was kind of like you exploring the world of metaphysics, or what was that? Your way of finding all of that, or what would you say?
Okay. I would say, yeah, basically when I went on a search and I started studying all of the world religions and the mysticism from all of the religions, and, you know, from the all the spiritual information that, and I started studying that, and I just dove deep and started picking up every book I could on, from Eastern mysticism, Tibetan Buddhism, Hinduism, Christianity, you know, Gnosticism, Kabbalism. So, and then what I found was a common theme from all the spiritual teachers from those different cultures and different religions. And it was almost like a discovery that I didn't think anyone else had discovered yet. So I set myself on a path to make a movie about it. And what's interesting is before I thought I was going to make a movie about it, I started writing this book. So this book actually came, the creation started before I made Three Magic Words. Because I didn't know if I was ever going to be able to make it, get out there and make a movie. I wasn't even in Hollywood yet. I was in Dallas, Texas. And when I started, I was about 18 years old when I started looking into all this stuff. There's no internet, so I had to go physically to the library and go to the used book sections and just pick off books off the shelf that happened to be there, that some of them discontinued now. And so I started writing. I said, I'm just going to write a book about all this common theme and all the information in here because you know, I just didn't see the world getting it. We weren't practicing these teachings. We were still fighting wars and killing each other over land and religion. So I started writing it, and along that path, I got myself out to L.A. and wrote several screenplays, wrote several metaphysical screenplays that just kind of sat on my shelf, and I couldn't sell them. People told me that it was too metaphysical for Hollywood. They weren't really, wasn't commercial. And so I decided after a lot of hard work and trying to get these scripts sold, I decided to make it myself, to make the Three Magic Words, started writing that screenplay. So along the path of writing the book, I started putting the movie together. And of course, they're different. The book is different now. I ended up making the book, what the book was going to be about, I ended up making the movie about. So I went to the Fantastic Adventures in Metaphysics goes totally beyond the message in the movie. So it goes even further, goes deeper.
Yeah. It's like you cover everything possible in the book.
I tried.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, that's what I was going to, so it's like, okay, so let's go there then. Yeah. It's like you want to give people anything and everything they could possibly want here.
Yeah, anybody who wants basically metaphysics 101 wants to know what it means to actually understand spirituality on the level beyond religion. That's what it's meant for. What I wrote it for.
Yeah,
and beyond, and more. A lot of science, scientifics. I wrote a lot about planet Earth and how we got here, and I put together a lot of the child material and a lot of things that Dolores talked about, and so many different books that I had read and just kind of absorbed in my lifetime that they're all referenced, and they're all the information. I just extrapolated it, and I find the commonality of it all. That's what I did.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of it. It's like it's not just from one place. You have it from so many different resources.
Yes.
So okay, so let's take it from your experience now. So let's pull you in here.
Okay.
So
all right.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, because this is your story. I mean, because you're in the middle of this. I think you know where I'm going here. I mean, as far as like, I could feel like when I'm going through the book, I mean, because this is your growth process. And so, so tell me about what's happening to you during this whole process.
Yeah, during the process of writing the book?
All of it. Yeah, the book, because the book was first, you said. So the book, and then the movie, and then the whole thing. So, like, yeah, all of it.
Okay. I will tell you. I actually haven't really told this part of it before to anybody, so this is kind of new. And I'll say it. I started this book as a autobiography because of all the spiritual, transformational occurrences that were happening in my life. And I just had to tell it to somebody. So this was kind of my attempt to start talking about it and saying what I learned and what I realized from this experience and that experience. So it was really started out that way. And over time, I started meeting all these other people that were on the similar path, and they were all writing a book about their life too. And I'm just like, is everybody writing a book about their life? I don't know. Sell. I was just like, this isn't going to sell, or people aren't going to want to read something about, and they wanted me to read their book. I'm like, I don't know if I have time to read their book about their life. I'm busy writing the book about mine. And that's when I realized that maybe I shouldn't be writing. Early on, I realized I was going to change it around and make it more a nonfiction, which I see now worked out really well. And so I started to move forward into that. But yeah, I had some experiences that really were eye-opening and made me realize a lot of things that we're not told in the schools that you know, you would normally get from your parents, that, I mean, unless they've been on the path before you. And I see it now coming out, and now thanks to, you know, the internet and thanks to digital media that can be accessible from all over the world, people are starting to hear about things that we have never heard about before. And this book was written before, kind of before, you know, the word chakra was a common word. It was, you know, it was written before anybody knew about sustainability and consciousness and being loving all beings and being kind to the planet. And it was just starting to be popular, you know, in the 90s, you know.
Yeah.
And so this stuff just kind of came to me when I was writing it, and I started to meet some very interesting beings, and I call them masters and teachers that came into my path, that I came across, and they each had something to teach me that I didn't know before. And I mean, it was just when you start on a path to be more open to receiving more knowledge, you know, more knowledge from the divine and more knowledge from what planet Earth has to offer, you start to take bits and pieces of things that from different people that you meet that you didn't have before, and then you start incorporating it into your personality and into your spirituality. That's kind of what happened to me. And I, you know, without going into all these, I could tell you a story that would take me about 2 hours to tell, but I'm not going to. But that was one of the huge events that occurred in my life that was a confirmation for me. It confirmed everything that I was learning and reading and studying, because it was a hands-on experience that just showed me this is the truth. And that experience took me to a place where I knew all right, I've got to plant some seeds and do something for the planet before I leave here. I've got this knowledge. And what would you do if you were given this knowledge? Like a high priest from another world came, time traveled in the future, and told you and gave you this knowledge. And said, what are you going to do with this knowledge? You couldn't just sit with it and just grow old and then die. And then you're going to be motivated. So I kind of, that's not exactly what happened, but I was motivated, put it that way.
Okay.
To do something with this knowledge.
Okay.
So that's what I did.
All right. Intrigued. Okay. So, what else? You need to, okay, there's something you've got to tell us. They're telling me that you have something.
Okay. I usually don't really talk about this in radio shows, but you're getting it out of me because I know I think this is the kind of show where I can reveal this. But okay. I have had helpers and guides throughout my life. I've felt their presence, and they've always told me to never give up. They've always told me to keep moving forward, keep doing what you're doing. And whenever I get discouraged, or whenever I get down, and whenever I think that I'm not going to accomplish something, they keep sending me reminders like, no, you made a decision to do this, and you cannot give up. And because of that, I've been able to accomplish these things that I never thought I could. And I guess that's what I'm supposed to say right now.
Yes. Someone needed to hear that. Thank you.
Yeah. But that goes for anybody. Even if you don't sense the presence of your helpers or guides, don't ever give up on your dreams. I mean, that's what I learned from my experiences. Just don't give up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I remember Mom was always so inspired by your story.
Yeah, well, I was inspired by her, too. I still am.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, there are great people that have come to this planet that have dedicated their entire lives to change on the planet. Edgar Cayce and Manly P. Hall, I mean, and Dolores Cannon is one of them. And they really did open the door to the evolution of our consciousness. And I don't know where we'd be without them right now. We'd be a lot slower. We'd be, you know, we'd have to go through a lot more. Mm-hmm. So it's just, they've been huge gifts. And now she's going to be a huge gift probably in another world or another planet that's in their dark age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's probably doing well. She's been saying, I mean, she's coming through to people in their sessions and things, and apparently, you know, she's everywhere, and who knows what she's doing. I see evidence of things that we were getting frustrated because we weren't getting them done on this side, and then things are happening now. I'm like, okay, I can see you're doing it. You're pulling strings. Okay, I get it. So,
you know what?
I can tell when she's doing stuff.
I think she's back in 400 AD with Nostradamus, and they're having a good laugh.
Oh, I bet they are. I wouldn't doubt it at all. Yeah. I felt, you know, there was one point, I don't know if she wanted to hear this, but I really felt like it was one of my theories that they were connected, you know, somehow in a timeline, because that made sense to me.
So like family related?
No. Oh, how would I do this? This is going to be a convoluted kind of thing. Like in a, it's a timeline kind of thing. Maybe even in a... It might even be like a facet, you know, of a soul thing.
Of themselves. I mean, the same soul, maybe the one and the same kind of maybe. Thing, right?
Mm-hmm. It's something where that's how the connection, although it was made through another person, so maybe not, but it was just, there's got to be something, there was something there that, you know, he recognized her, though, you know, and I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah, because you never know.
It's just, you know. Yeah, I don't know. They were of the same fiber, that's for sure. Stubborn. Mm-hmm. So just yeah. He met his match when
that's for sure. Wow. It's like I hear a whole nother novel in there. Falling in love. Someone in the future.
Could be. Mm-hmm.
The love story of past and future.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
How do they meet? And how do the two meet? Wow.
Oh, you don't know that story?
No, I remember. Well, how did it end? Yeah, tell me how the book ended. I don't think I finished it.
Oh, goodness. Well, it ends with, well, on the third trilogy, let's see, on the third book, it kind of just ends with, you know, with her, it's just saying, you know, he just left it's like he left it in our hands. You know, it's like it's out there for us. It's pretty much just out there for us. So, and that's what's left. Yeah. The prophecies are out there. What are you going to do with them? I've told you, you know, I tell you the worst a man can do to himself. What will you do? To stop it. And then that's where she was lecturing all the time. So,
wow.
And it was shifted. I mean, we can see that. You read the books and you can tell it was shifted. So, so she did her job.
Yep. She did his. She did hers.
Yep, absolutely. That's what was cool. That's where I was like, when they were doing the sessions and whenever he was in the one session or in the book, you can tell it's happening whenever he's going, now, wait a minute. And she's reading the quatrain. And he's like, well, what was that word again? And it's like, she's reading it to him and he's writing it down. And so it's like, well, wait a minute, huh? Who's doing what here? That's when it was going, okay, this is getting freaky.
Wait a second. How much information did Dolores reveal of our present time to him? Are you saying that she could have actually been telling him what he was writing down in the quatrains that we have?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow. That's wow.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. And that's why I'm going, what is going on?
I didn't even think of that. See, I thought he got it in vision, right? I mean, or part of it.
He did, yeah. But he said, okay, go get the current book on my quatrains and I will decipher them and I will tell you what they actually mean.
And then
when he was doing it and she was reading them and he was like, okay, this is what it is. But then one time he was going, now wait a minute. He's like, now slow down. And it's like he was writing it and it was like, but it was almost like he was needing to write it down. Now, what was that word again? What was that word? What was it? It was like, wait a minute. It was like the first time he'd ever heard it. It was like, who's doing what here?
Right. Now, that could mean two things. And I write about this in my book about parallel universes. I write about the parallel universes and also about how time can be split into different timelines. So that could mean one or two things. If he was dictating stuff that Dolores was telling him and putting it down, then he either changed the quatrains that we have now today instantly, and we wouldn't have even known it, Or he changed it on an alternate timeline that continued on while ours continues on its path.
She was telling him. And then, yeah, see, because it did change.
But we wouldn't have known it would change. If something's changed in our timeline, we're changed with it by thinking that that was the original form of it. So we wouldn't have known.
Yeah, right. And we wouldn't know. Yeah.
Nope. But I believe that if you do have the technology to travel back in time and you do change something, you're changing something in an alternate timeline and it just branches off into another a parallel universe. To me, that's what all the quantum physicists say.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It makes sense.
Very deep.
Yeah, very deep, yes.
I actually say, in my book, there are several things that I talk about that that show time-changing events actually occurring on our planet that you can actually look up and discover for yourself. And the only explanation for them would be time travel. But you'd have to read the book to find out.
Okay, can you give one example? Give one example so it's not a total tease.
Okay, the Philadelphia experiment.
Say that again?
The Philadelphia experiment.
Okay, yeah.
That's one of them.
Okay. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the thing is we probably do it. Well, that's what they say. We are moving in and out of dimensions for sure. And so do you feel like we're doing time travel a lot without, I mean, they do that. Now that was an intentional time travel.
Yeah.
Do you think we time travel without realizing it?
Well, I do write about that too. I think that if we were to discover time travel, and we used it. If let's say we already doing it now, I think it's just way beyond our understanding of what we actually could be creating and what we could be, what it could be, it could result in. And a lot of authors talk about this, and I think that there are ruptures in our space-time continuum, and I think the Bermuda Triangle is one of them. And I think if we have been tampering with that technology, I think we create some problems, especially catastrophic type problems. So hopefully, if we do have it now and we're experimenting with it, they have it on their, they know what they're doing with it.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, that goes with a particle accelerator too, creating a tiny black hole. I don't think we have any idea what that could cause.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. You know, and that's part of the theory is, you know, it's like why, where was I going with that? Why so many people are back now is part of the theory is that we're a lot of the people that at Atlantis, and this was the same things that they were doing in Atlantis.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah. Do you feel that way?
Absolutely. Well, Edgar Cayce talks about that.
So
many of his readings that he did were people that have come back from Atlanta.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So coming back to write what happened there.
Right. And so we don't repeat that.
Okay. It looks like we have 1 minute. I can't believe how fast that went. Okay.
Well, we always have great conversations when we talk.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, Michael, tell everybody how they can contact you if they want to, okay, if they want to know more about you and find you.
Absolutely. You can. I'll just give you the website to the book, which is fantasticadventuresbook.com, and you can contact me right there.
Okay, fantastic. And yeah. Michael will be one of the speakers at the Transformation Conference in April, and that will be coming up April 5th to the
7th.
To the 7th that we were just talking about. And so get on the website and find out more about it. And if you want to get the book, we have the link also on the BBS site here as well as the OzarkMT.com. And so You know,
I just wanted to say I'm so excited about that conference because I had such a good time last night.
Oh, yeah. And it just keeps getting better and better all the time. So, but I am afraid, I think we're out of time. Don hasn't given me the 60-second warning, but I know we're at it.
Thank you so much, Julia. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Thank you so much, Michael. I'm so glad you were able to make it.
Yes, so. I love you.
I love you too. This has been wonderful. Thank you so much. And we love you, everyone, and have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next time. And we're signing off.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.